Yeah, the floodlights camp's pretty busy. It's been sort of mania recently, the South by Southwest and the lead up to the album. We sort of did like a last minute video clip as well in amongst that last month. But it's been really good. We're pretty happy with how it's all sort of come about and how the release has gone. We've been, got some good reception and some good things come out of it. So yeah, we're stoked here.
I wanted to chat to you about South by Southwest, actually, down the track, but you've jumped well ahead of my question. So let's just jump into that. How is heading over to Texas and playing on, I guess, the world stage?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Texas.
It was pretty
Oh.
crazy, wasn't it, Luch? It was we'd never traveled as a band, outside of Australia, I should say. So that alone was pretty wild. The flight was pretty stressful, paying extras thousands of dollars for your bags and stuff like that that we didn't know was going to happen. And then I guess getting there and playing to these people who we didn't know who they were, but we knew they might be people who were somewhat important and could, you know what I mean? It was a scary, scary experience, but gosh, it was fun at the same time. I mean, we really had a wild one as well. So it was a good all round time, wasn't it, Louis?
Yeah, it was a bit of a sensory overload when we first got there. I'm not sure what the normal Austin actually looks like, because we got there in the first night. We walked down 6th Street and it was just like a circus. There was just people sprawling everywhere, pouring out of pubs, and then every single shop front's been turned into some kind of music venue. But it was really good. We got like 4 or 5 days at the start just to explore Austin, and went to these really cool sort of natural springs called Barden Springs, and had a swim there, and did a lot of racked up a lot of steps just by walking around the city, checking everything out. And then yeah, when we started playing, it was sort of like high stress environments, but I feel like you can thrive on that energy, and it sort of helps your live performance as well.
Was the music, no, not well received. I'm gonna assume it was well received, but I know, like, when I first heard your music and when it's played in Australia to folks who might know you or not know you, people like get it. It's a style of kind of alt rock, which like evokes a lot of Australiana, and it clicks with people, and you kind of understand it. Did that translate to a global audience?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I was speaking about this to someone else the other day, and I guess like, yeah, what when we play our music in Australia, people can resonate it in the sort of way that you're speaking about. But in another way, it's in the same way that we might resonate with a band from New York. It's got that sense of foreignness and sort of mystique about it, and we hear quirks that are sort of specific to that area in the world. And I feel like there's something, I don't know, interesting, and that's what draws you into that kind of music. So hopefully, in that way, people can resonate with our music because they don't know exactly what Australia is like and all the, the national identity and all the subcultures that exist here, and maybe get a sense of intrigue from that, if
Yeah,
that
and I
makes
guess
sense.
you kind of get a chance to sort of reshape that and, tell your own story of what Australia is like, 'cause it might be easy to be like, oh yeah, it sounds like pub rock, but you folks are talking about more than just like beers, ciggies in the desert on this album and your past albums as well, right?
Yeah, totally. We like to elaborate a bit more on the Australian sort of life than that. But yeah, I guess we just write from our perspective and the things that we see and our lived experience. And I feel like to touch on, the Australian identity and cultures and people and everything, I feel like to not write about that, you're sort of missing something in your music. Not that there's anything wrong with not writing about that, but we just feel as though it's important and we enjoy writing, through a lens of, what we see and how we perceive the world and how it makes us feel.
Yeah, so is that sort of first-hand lived experience a big point of inspiration?
Yeah, totally. It's I think it's sort of our main point of inspiration. I mean, we can't ever write on behalf of anyone else's perspective. So I guess, yeah, through our own personal and as a group's experience, yeah, that's what, just what we write about.
Yeah,
It
so
comes easiest to us, I guess.
exactly. Did lyrically the album sort of developed and was really wonderful, but sonically it also expanded heaps. You folks incorporated different textures and kind of more exciting timbres and instruments and stuff. Was that sort of a gradual growth and experimentation progress, or when you were putting these tracks together, did you sit down and be like, "No, we're going to have more synths, we're going to have trumpets in this one"? Yeah, I reckon it was something that came really naturally. I suppose our previous recordings have been, I was about to say basic, but that might, dumb them down a bit. They're just very honest and we're very just, four people making noise with their own instruments and, not going to not experimenting too hard into what other sounds we could sort of get out of it, which made that album so beautiful, like From a View and the EP Backyard. But I think you can only sort of do that for so long without it getting, feeling a little bit stale for yourself and also others who are listening as well. So it was quite natural us wanting to use different instruments. We before recording, we knew that we were going to have grand piano. And some trumpet. But then after recording, we felt we needed even more. So we added some violin, more sort of synths that sort of lay underneath the track and lift it up even further. Really subtle, sonic things that will hopefully the listener thinks that this is sort of, the next step for us and yeah, a big step up, we hope. Because that's what the aim essentially was. Because I think, I don't do much of the sort of lyrics and stuff. It tends to be Louis and Ash. So I guess I was focusing more instrumentally on this album, and that's where our head was sort of at, I think. Yeah. So when you folks are collaborating and adding all these little bits in, how does somebody sort of present an idea to the band, and then like what's the back and forth?
It's usually just starts with either lyrics, or a sort of skeleton of an idea that we bring to rehearsal. And then even every now and then we might just be jamming in rehearsal. Joe might just strike up a new bass line and we'll sort of get hooked on that and end up, doing that song for the whole 5 hour slot when we were meant to be practicing a set. But I suppose, yeah, we in a few different ways, and I feel like it's become it always has been collaborative, but I feel like we also write new songs now with a sort of big focus on playing them live and how, I guess, how they'll translate to a live setting. Because I feel like our live performance is something we really enjoy as much as the whole writing process. And so we're quite conscious of keeping that in mind when we are writing. And some songs are not meant for the stage, and that's okay. But then some, we want to bring the energy.
Do you have a favorite song that is meant for the stage? Like one that over these past, like, what is it? You could say like three tours has just become an absolute joy to perform.
Oh, what do you think, Arch?
I mean, there's no doubt that Painting of My Time, the title track from the new record, just that's the one I feel gets the crowd just gets so engaged, even when they have never heard the song before. We've had that song in our live set for about maybe a year now. Is that a stretch? I'm not sure. And that has just been that's just blown us all away, even before that song's released, how crowd interaction can sort of happen without people even have heard, hearing the song before. But I guess musically for me, I think Moment of Destruction, the opener of this new album, that's one that we used to play in the rehearsal room, and we just kept playing it over and over. We'd just dim the lights, keep dimming the lights, make it darker and darker, and just keep playing it, and we just keep feeling this emotion. And it was a shared emotion as well, so it was so beautiful. And that I still get that when we play it live, which is a beautiful feeling.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it live. Openers on albums always grab me. So I have no doubt it'll be super special. And also looking forward to hearing more of the record all this week on RTRFM as our feature album. It's been a pleasure chatting to you folks. Looking forward to catching you over here in June, correct?
June, that's yeah, it's gonna
Yeah,
be
a whole three shows, which is an absolute treat for us sand gropers.
great. Yeah, I should plug them. We've got Margaret River on June 23rd, and then we got Perth June 24th and Fremantle June 25th. So yeah, would love to see
You
some
can't miss
WA folks.
them. Three opportunities.
No excuse. Sweet. Well, thanks so much for joining me on Out to Lunch, folks. Take it easy.
Thanks for
Thanks
having
for
us,
having
Matt.
us.
Thanks.